Well, we're back, and the show's been going very well. We've had a few little glitches here today, and we apologize for that, but we've had some technical difficulty, but I think we've gotten over most of it. But now we're joined with one of our favorite people, Bunny Neely, and she's going to talk about another Rediscover America. How are you today, Bunny?
I'm great, Roy. It's good to talk with you.
Good. Can you hear me okay? Because some people were saying they couldn't.
I can hear you, but it's faint.
If I bring this up a little bit, does that make it a little...
That's better.
Is that much better?
Yes.
Okay. We've just been having some problems here today, and I'm not exactly sure what they're all about. But in any event, you're with us, and that's important, and that's what will change it all. What are we going to chat about today?
Tacoma, Washington, right outside of Seattle. It's one of the prime examples in the United States of regentrification. They have had a marvelous renovation of their city in the last 8 years, and it's been completely transformed.
And just for our audience who may not have been in that area, it's just a few miles south of Seattle, is that correct?
Yes, it's about 20 minutes out of Seattle, and it is very close to, it is on the waterway, the Puget Sound. And the Foss Waterway, it's one of the major shipping ports of the United States and of the world. And it was just a dockside city that was in dilapidation until about 8 years ago. And the city fathers and many of the city citizens decided they were going to regentrify and reinvent it for tourism. And it's now a wonderful attraction city, just an hour from Mount Rainier or Mount St. Helens. And a few minutes out of Seattle, right by the SeaTac Airport, and very close to the Vancouver, Canada area. So it's just an excellent place to go and visit and stay a week or stay a few days and go on.
Now, you were there during the Parade of Sails on the 4th of July, were you not?
Yes, and that was a magnificent display of the old ships from around the world in a water parade. It was just wonderful. Ships from the 18th and 19th century, mostly replicas, but really a wonderful event. And the city went all out for a number of days in there with big ceremonies and lots of fun things to do. And it was sort of the announcement of all of their opening, all of their new museums and just wonderful family things to do that are there now.
You know, you even say that during the three-day festival, the docks were lined with entertainment from jugglers and musicians to tents of souvenirs and, of course, foods as you'd see in most.
Yes, and the impressive thing was that this city band together all of the citizens, the volunteers. There were hundreds of volunteers from different organizations to make it safe and to make it run smoothly and to have no problems, because there were over 1 million people there for this. They had expected about 400,000, and they ended up with about 1.2 million for this festival. And they had no hitches, safety and everything, from the waterway to the safety. You can imagine in this day when we have to be so careful about safety and unavoidable things happening in large gatherings, they had made every precaution and just had everything worked out. It was just absolutely a wonderful event.
And they must have been overwhelmed at first. They said, my Lord, how are we going to handle all this?
Well, it didn't seem so. It appeared that they had planned for that many, and it just went smoothly as could be.
Now, getting back, go ahead.
The museums, they have five different museums in this area that are just amazing. There's an art museum, and which has a wonderful children's area and an area for teachers and adults to come in. They supply everything, including the instructions. You can create to your heart's content and either take it home or leave it there for display, and all for free, even for visitors. You don't have to be a member. And then they have the glass museum, a museum of glass, which is just marvelous. You can see glass blowers anytime the museum is open. They have this wonderful area where you can go in and watch pieces being created from start to finish. Dale Chihuly, the famous glass worker who is internationally known, he's being shown right now in 200 museums around the world, and he's a native son and has contributed a lot to this regentrification, and they have a Dale Chihuly bridge of glass that goes into this museum with a lot of his works on display.
And a lot of good photo ops, I would guess.
Oh, yes, because it has magnificent views of the city and of the surrounding area from there.
And you say there's a bridge of glass?
Well, it's called the Bridge of Glass. It goes to the Glass Museum, and it has beautiful chandelier on it, and it has a case displaying all of his glass works. The bridge is not made out of glass.
Yeah, they just call it it's a pedestrian bridge, but it transports you over to the interstate, I guess.
Exactly, and it's very impressive to see and to go across, and you see all these hundreds of his beautiful, incredibly expensive, valuable pieces of glass on display behind these in these cases there.
Now,
his regentrification started with a very interesting thing. There was an old Union Station there that when the rail, this has always been a major shipping area for both ships and railway, when some of the rails started being abandoned, the Union, the railroad people sold this Union Station building to the city of Tacoma for a dollar. And it was designed by the people that did the Grand Central Station in New York City, so it's a magnificent building.
How interesting. Yeah.
And this was years ago, and just before they started to tear it down, a group of citizens said, oh, no, we want to save this beautiful historic building. And they petitioned the U.S. government when the U.S. government was looking for federal courthouses, places, historic buildings to use as federal courthouses. And that's what this was turned into, and so the combined federal monies and local monies began the regentrification, and this was about 10 years ago, I believe. And so from there, the University of Washington bought a lot of the surrounding buildings and the wharfs, the old warehouses, and did some recreation of those and made it into part of the college system. And it's just a wonderful way they've transformed this.
Well, you know, it's great that there are organizations out there that get into this. You know, you often wonder in life, how can I make a difference as one person? Well, this is a way. You know, you get into some of these organizations for restoration and for preservation, and it does make a difference for generations to come.
And the hundreds of local citizens that got involved in it and stay involved and are so proud of their city make the visitors or the conventioners just really enjoy their city. There's Emerald Downs' beautiful racetrack,
right.
And there's a Working Wharf Museum where you can go, and if you live in the area, you can come two or three times a week and pay just $300, and they help you build your own boat.
Now, that's incredible, isn't it?
Isn't it amazing? And they have wonderful children's areas in all of these museums as well, children's activity areas. It's just one of the most impressive places we've visited in a long time, and we highly recommend it. They have a Carpelles Manuscript Museum, one of only eight in the United States, where they have incredibly valuable, priceless, one-of-a-kind manuscripts that you can see, and like part of the Gutenberg Bible, writings of Joan of Arc, Abe Lincoln's death certificate, even the manuscripts of Harry Potter and Star Wars and Star Trek, which...
Yeah, I got a kick out of the Harry Potter thing because my daughter was over, my youngest daughter was here for a few days, and she left the latest copy, and I'm three quarters of the way through it, so I'm Harry Potter'd pretty well.
I am too. Can't wait for the movie to start this weekend.
Now, there you did mention convention facilities, and that's always important in a place
yes.
like this.
They have a brand new convention center in downtown, and a really nice Marriott Courtyard hotel right almost adjoining it, right across the street. And the facilities are marvelous for any kind of convention that you would want to have. And that's all within walking distance of these museums and all the points of interest and wonderful restaurants downtown. And then you're just a few minutes away from the Puget Sound and from the drive into the San Juan Islands and the drive into Canada.
You mentioned that this Hot Shop Amphitheater is where you go to watch the different glass blowers creating these pieces.
That's within the Glass Museum.
Okay.
And you can go and spend hours, literally we did, watching them blow glass and use the furnaces to fire it and to heat the I don't understand the whole process, but you've got your old methods of the glass blowing there, creating modern pieces right in front of you.
Right.
And the big furnaces and all, it's very impressive to see. And then you walk right outside and you're on the Foss Waterway wharfs and docks, so you can see the ships, or you can rent a ship, I mean, board a ship or whatever there.
Now, you say in the Washington State History Museum, amongst other things, they have the, it's the, what you call the moving accounts by First Peoples, members
yes.
of some of the 150 Indian tribes, my goodness.
Yes, in this area, there are so many different Indian tribes originally, and they honor all of these people, and the you've got marvelous displays of the First Peoples there, and lots of history that you can learn. And then the other thing that was so impressive to me was to go into the Great Depression Hooverville shantytown, which is right within this museum, and there's a recreation of people. It's a recording, but it looks like you're visiting with the people and you're hearing them talk about what it's like in the town, in the shanty towns during the Depression. And it gave me a new understanding of what people went through then.
And the artists, you're talking about collectors of, you know, for souvenir hunters, will find a delightful one-of-a-kind items to purchase in the museum shops.
Oh, yeah, all of the museums have wonderful gift shops that have one-of-a-kind items from all price ranges, from, you know, very inexpensive to quite expensive.
Right.
And the museum displays change every 2 or 3 months, and so it's always something new for you to see there. They have a really delightful zoo also, with Mount Rainier as the backdrop, and the zoo is really geared for kids, completely renovated this year, and all the best displays for the animals and environments for them to live in, and a lot of interactives for the kids. There was a wonderful little playground area where children can hop like a kangaroo, or swing like a monkey, and they have all these different little things set up for them to do, so they can imitate the different ways the animals get around and get the feeling of what it's like.
Well, and it's good to hear that places like this are children friendly. I mean, as you know, just getting back to the Foss Waterway Wharf, where they have a working waterfront maritime museum, as you mentioned, for young and old, that in these boat classes, or where you can purchase the materials, you say, for under $300 and build your own wood canoe, and then the children can build toy boats and ships.
Right, they can, and the children's supplies are free.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah, it really is. It's just a great place to put as a vacation destination or as a convention destination. We were so impressed with the way everything works for the visitors, and the locals seem as proud of their city as well, and to work well together. Just a great place to visit for any time of year, also because they have a mild climate, and it's just delightful.
Well, thank you, Bonnie. Super, super subject. And,
well, thank you, and it's great to visit with you again. I'll look forward to it soon.
It's always fun. Are you going away for the holidays, or are you staying home?
Staying with family.
Well, that's good. That's
and
what
I
we plan to do.
And I hope you have a wonderful one, too.
Thank you very much, Bonnie. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Bonnie Neely, very pleasant lady, always has some good subjects to discuss. We've had some technical difficulties today, and I apologize for all of that, but every now and then things go a little haywire. Next week, we're going to run a pre-recorded show so I can spend some overdue family time for the holiday week. And as Bonnie just did to me and I did for her, I would like to wish all of our listeners my best for this coming holiday season. So next week will be pre-recorded. We'll be talking to you the week after. And this is Roy Lowy saying bye. Till next time, and Talking Travel is brought to you by the Travel Talk Radio Network, broadcast live from Florida's Sun Coast and 24/7 online at TTRN. Now back to our regular programming.